This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to the Countdown Podcast and our review of Mortal Kombat! Hi, my name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. Straight into it then for this brand new big budget action adaptation of the not quite immortal arcade game from moons ago. This is directed by Simon McQuaid in his
first-timer, I believe,
directorial debut. That's correct. It's written by Greg Russo and Dave Callahan from a story by Oren Uzul and Greg Russo. Stars household names: Louis Tan, Jessica McNamee, Joss Lawson, Tanonobu Asano, Macard Brooks, Ludi Lin, Chin Han, Joe Chaslim, who I do recognize from The Raid, and Hiroki Sanada. The music's by Benjamin Walsfish. It runs 110 minutes. The budget's approximately $95 million, and the box office $19.4 million in a COVID-affected world. It was, of course, dropped day and date by HBO Max at the same time as released to cinemas in the world where it's safe to watch it in the cinema. And unfortunately it's no longer safe to watch it there because we're back in a lockdown. Hooray!
I should say that I paid for my tickets and did not get to go to the cinema.
Likewise! So
that's right.
Thank you once again, COVID. All right then, Wayne. So what is this bad boy about? Knowing that it has a 53% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes at the time.
That's recording. A bit low.
We'll find out.
Hunted by the fearsome warrior Sub-Zero, MMA fighter Cole Young finds sanctuary at the Temple of Lord Raiden, who's a dude that can do lightning shit with his fingers and eyes. Training with experienced fighters like Liu Kang, Kung Lao, and the rogue mercenary Kano, Cole prepares to stand with Earth's greatest champions to take on the enemies from the Outworld in a high-stakes battle for what? The universe? That's what this film is about.
Wayne, I now insist that every time you mention a character name, you do it in Mortal Kombat fucking terms.
Good.
Right? I'm not going to do it, just you.
Well, for the record, folks, full disclosure, my first job was at a place called Time Zone. Now, that is an arcade company here in Australia. And I heard this Mortal Kombat, like, finish him and get over here and that shit all day long. I had 14-hour shifts, son. 14 hours. So I know this shit from the back of my hand, son.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? So I will do that for you, Paul. No problem.
All right. Well, Wayne, I guess the big question, which everyone's wondering, is this a good video game adaptation? Have we finally cracked the code? It being shot in South Australia, in Adelaide more specifically, do we think Australia has done what no one else could have done before?
Yes and no, Paul. Yes and no. All right, look, here's what I think.
Wants its pole back from your ass.
It does, brother. It does. All right, here's what I'll explain. First of all, everyone saw the trailer for this thing and everyone shat their pants. Am I right? I mean, there was a few people with like shit in their pants as a result. Like, you probably not you, Paul, because nothing impresses you. But let's say, like, in general, like, it was not as good as I was expecting, but it's not all bad, okay? I'll tell you this. The opening, very good.
Yes.
Right? The opening, great, in fact. The fight scenes are handled mostly really well. There are a couple of, like, oh, that was a bit phoned in, but a lot of the good shit was very, very good. The gore is great and necessary for a show like this, since all the Mortal Kombat video game fans
are very, very gory themselves.
Old. Yep. Yes, but also they're, like, old, man. They're, like, at least 40-plus now. If you played Mortal Kombat on a fucking, like, console, like, in an arcade, you're at least as old as me-ish, right? So I would say this movie is not quite Mortal Kombat. It's almost like pre-Mortal Kombat.
No,
because
that is exactly the point. This film is basically a cock tease.
It is a cock tease.
A pussy tease.
You're right. It is a pussy and cock tease because the things that were really, really great were really, really great. And the things that were crap were quite crap. So I think it's a film of two extremes. I can point to stuff I really liked and stuff that made me wonder why. I think there was some excellent fan service moments.
Oh, yeah.
So some things were just there for if you knew the video game.
Yeah,
we'll save
that for the spoilers, our favorite fan service moments. Both of us having played this game. I wouldn't say religiously. Like, I struggled for a while trying to match which character this was, and it took me a long time to realize Cole wasn't a character in the games. I'm like, which one is he going to be?
Oh, no, I knew that immediately. I'm like, are they making up a guy? Who's this motherfucker, right? And I'm like, I don't recall him at all.
Okay, that was going to be a spoiler I was going to say. I thought they were molding him into a character, but it turned out not to be that character because that character was assumed by someone else later in the film.
Exactly. So that's why, and by the way, I knew all the fatality moves, like the, you know, forward, forward, left, left, quarter circle, towards, punch, all that shit, right? I knew all of them. So like, again, slightly closer, but I will say that one absolute standout character and actor in this film, if it weren't for that character and actor, I would not have enjoyed this film.
Kano. I'll
straight up say that. Kano, dude. Kano. Let's talk about Kano. What's his name? Josh Lawson?
Josh Lawson, yeah. A bit of an Aussie actor.
Aussie actor?
A comedian actor.
And comedian actor. He's made Kano... Well, they've made a Kano really Aussie, like real Aussie. You fucking booty! Fucking... All right? That kind of thing. So
not even doing
that has... I'm totally not. I'm just a brown guy doing Aussie stuff. But his jokes are like... Almost every line he drops, I'm laughing out loud, son. Out loud at a Mortal Kombat movie. Like, put your bloody shirt on, fucking bloody Magic Mike. You know, shit like that. Very, very funny. All right. Kung Pao, pass us a fucking egg roll, thanks. Shit like that is hilarious, okay? So I'm laughing my ass off directly. That was the best character in there, and I felt like the other characters were a little not fleshed out.
Oh.
As a result.
100%. Well, I tend to agree with everything.
Please, tell me.
I think the screenplay is absolute dog shit, let's be clear. Now,
yeah,
there's dog shit of the kind where you step into it and it gets in the cracks in the soles of your shoes and you walk across the carpet at home and you leave a smear and you're so angry about that. That's Godzilla versus Kong. Then there's dog shit where it's quite dry and flaky and it's just annoying you stepped in it. But when you get back home, it doesn't track through your entire house. That's Mortal Kombat. This script is terrible.
I love that you've made this distinction between types of dog shit. Bring on. Bring it on.
The script's terrible. Like,
yeah.
All you need to do is have some half-coherent way to bring characters together. That's all the script does. Everything else about it is terrible. The characters all one note. They're not any life breathed into them. You're meant to care about them. I think I couldn't give a shit. If you didn't have a nostalgic connection to any of these people from what you played in the arcade game, other than that's this person, you would not have cared. In fact, every single death in this movie, good or bad, I laughed. And not like... Oh, how amazing.
But that is your thing.
Just like,
yeah.
Yeah. Am I meant to care there? Because I failed to care about any of them. Any of them.
See, there's a subset of folks out there who will say, I don't care, man. Just show me wicked fight scenes. Yes. Bring it on. Yes. Bring it more on.
Well,
right?
The same
and
subset
good
of people
for you guys,
who said,
you'll like this.
Who cares about all the human characters in Godzilla versus Kong? I'm going to keep making this comparison because I think they're very similar in some ways, right? But.
Yeah, it's spectacle.
I don't have the nostalgia for Godzilla vs. Kong. I do have it for Mortal Kombat. So straight away, my mark is going to be better, fully acknowledging of that. But I also think that the script was full of less holes than Godzilla vs. Kong. There wasn't anything in here that made me just go, well, for fuck's sake, you don't care. Right? I felt like the filmmakers cared here. I think that matters a lot.
I would agree. And here's the thing about Mortal Kombat. It's... Mortal Kombat, the video game when it came out, is one of the few video games at the time that had really, really like rich lore for the actual characters. Like each character had a profile. This guy does this. You know, like Kano in the thing, for example, was some kind of warlord or like drug kingpin that was in East Asia or something like that. They made him Aussie here. That's fine.
Of course they made him Aussie. It was shot in Australia. James Wan was a producer.
Yeah, you can tell by the few Aussie like sort of actors here and there that you're
even
you
Jessica
know, for us, we're like
Sonya
like,
Blade, she's an Australian actor.
Is she an Aussie? I thought she did very well with her American accent. There you are. I thought she was an American. So there you are. So it's like that. And there's some people who like, you know, lore before gore or gore before lore. I actually think that they could have, because this Cole character was somewhat created for the actual like movie, you need to flesh out the other characters first before you do that. So as you said, you didn't care when folks died or not died or whatever. That's an issue. And I want to say that there's something here that's a huge spoiler for the rest of the film, so we'll leave that for the spoilers section. But look, if you don't want character development, that's not a movie. You need to have some character development. You need to make me care.
Two things.
You need to give us a journey.
You need to invest in the characters, and it matters to you whether they live or die. And the second thing, and I know I bang on about it all the time, but the rules of whatever your rules are need to hold up. This film, at times, doesn't seem to care about the rules that it establishes. And that's a really weak point. And any chance it's had of being good between those two things evaporates away at that particular point. There's a moment in this film where they say, if you've got the mark, you're only allowed to train here. And then someone who's not got the mark later on is there training without any acknowledgement thereof. And I'm just like, well, don't make the fucking point if it doesn't matter. It's script 101 terrible. And what I suspect happened was, there was a scene where they addressed it and it was cut for time because this film is fucking long enough. 110 minutes does not need a second more. In fact, the middle part of this film is by far the worst. The setup's okay. The second act is horrendous. And the third act is by far the best. The culmination, the fights really resurrect, because I was prepared to shit all over this film until that moment.
I will say this. Yeah, exactly. I kind of agree with you. The middle part, I'll be honest with you, I kind of almost nodded off.
Oh, yeah. It lags.
Because it was like, oh, my God.
Apart from Kano and some of his, you know, his shtick. It's like, whatever.
That's why I say, imagine if he wasn't there, or if there wasn't, that character wasn't making things that made you laugh. You wouldn't be engaged during that entire section. And then when the fights come, they are good. There's one fight between and someone at the end. And I was like, that could have been anyone, that character. Like, it just could have been any character at all. I didn't even know his name, who he was. I recognize him from the game, but again, I don't care. So that's the issue this has. Now, on some level, do you think, like, all right, it's a first-time filmmaker. Don't know what the production process was like. Has he made a pretty good go of it, given that he has never done this before?
I read an interview with Simon McQuaid, or Quode, whatever you want to say his name, and he said he did not want to do a video game adaptation as his first film, but he was sold on the strength of the script. So I'm not sure then whether to lambast him that he's fucked up whatever better script he saw, or whether to praise him for whipping into shape whatever script that he saw, I guess, unless I could read
the script. That's the thing, isn't it? Know. If it was a piece of shit and he made this out of a piece of shit, then he's done quite well.
But if it was fucking the Rocky of Mortal Kombat scripts and he's reduced it to this, then he's the one to blame.
That's right. I would probably say that, like, in terms of good versus bad, this actually passes for me, because I've seen movies like this where it was all action and nothing else and still didn't like it. This one, I had enough, like, of a good time for me to go, oh, okay, I'll see that.
Fair enough.
You know, that's this is okay.
It just also passes for me, but it's certainly not a hard recommendation. If you're a fan of the game, go and see it, or watch it when you can stream it to home safely to do so. But definitely, don't go in expecting the world. And there's a few people out there who are just championing this film as being completely amazing. It's certainly better than the previous two films. Not that it's a continuation, this is a reboot, but that's not saying much. That's like saying, if I come back to shit, that your solid piece of poop was better than the runny bit that you had to spend half an hour wiping your ass over.
Paul and his toilet metaphors. Or dog shit metaphors, rather.
All right, let's get out of this section and get into the spoiler section so we can talk more freely on the other side of Jack.
You can't handle the truth!
All right, Wayne, now you can speak freely. What did you think of Mortal Kombat's plot developments and the thing you wanted to say before?
There's no fucking tournament!
Mm-hmm.
There was no tournament! Mortal Kombat is all about the tournament, and they refer to it many times in the show, where there's a tournament where we got to do this thing, and you're Earth's champions, and they're all cunts, and let's do this, and blah, 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 right? And then there's no tournament. All there is a selection or fights. There's fights, but there's no actual tournament that happens. Now, I don't know if they're trying to not blow their load for a sequel, which they're clearly trying to set up.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
That's an issue. First of all, a sequel... Spoilers, again, I know it's a spoiler section, but they killed Kano off. He needs to be in that second movie, or I'm not watching it. Like, he's the best thing about this one, okay? So, whatever. If I was him, I would be spruiking that all over the place, because he's awesome, all right? He will now become the token Aussie guy in every American movie. If I was Hollywood, I'd be like, get me that guy.
Jai Courtney.
Oh, please. He could, yeah, you know what? Yeah, that's right, exactly. I mean, that's it. That bummed me out. What can I say? I can also say to you that the choice of bad guys, to me, was odd, okay? There's like 100 characters in this show. Shang Tsung, sure. He's the lead bad guy. Fair enough, all right? Sub-Zero, absolutely, sure. But then Melina, this girl with the sigh and the weird mouth, and then like Striker, which is this like cyborg version of... these are all second,
there
third...
There are literally characters who appear. Hello.
4 seconds.
You need to fight. And like, and we're meant to think that's a big thing. Because you're assumed to have the knowledge of the game that's deep enough from a game that's, what, 30 almost years old?
Easily.
I know we've had Mortal Kombat 7 through 10 or whatever the fuck since then, but I haven't played any of those.
Even if you hadn't played the game, you should be able to watch this and be entertained. And that's why I don't know how the right way to handle this was. It's almost like, I almost feel like if they had done it like Suicide Squad, where they introduce a guy and then they give you the, this person is this, like an on-screen bio thing, that it almost might have worked a bit better, because I might have at least, you know what I mean? Like, that's a really cheap way of doing it.
Very lazy way, yes.
It's extremely lazy, but like, it's, I didn't care about a lot of these folks.
I made the point, Kung Lao, he dies. What do you fucking do? Other than the fact, the best bit of the whole film, arguably the best, full stop, is when he killed, was it Melina? No, the
Melina, yeah.
No, it wasn't Melina. It was the flying thing.
The flying woman.
Yeah, he sticks his frisbee thing in the ground, his frisbee hat in the ground, and it saws her in half, and he's like, flawless victory.
Yeah, now let's talk about flawless victory. There's a lot of scenes in, and I know why they did it, and I just don't know that it worked, okay? Oh,
so, for example, I lost my shit laughing.
That was great, but he actually said flawless victory.
Do you know what I mean? Like, they're referencing
it's
the
weird
game.
To say that after you do something.
Well.
It's weird. And also Scorpion. Scorpion's like, get over here. Yep. Like, that's not even his voice.
Well, that was a funny bit because I thought they were building, what's his name, Cole up to be Scorpion. I'm like, oh, that would have been cool.
Okay.
But no, it ends up the guy comes back from hell and he's Scorpion.
Yeah, which is completely like, oh, so he's just here from hell. Then, okay, great. No actual explanation of that. Like,
so did Raiden bring him back? Raiden, who's not supposed to interfere, but Shang Tsao.
We have no.
Like, this is so. The rules are so badly set up in this. So, yes. Gods are not allowed to interfere. So, what's his name? The big bad guy? Shang Tsung. Shang Tsung?
Yep.
Is he not a god? Yep. Is he allowed to. It seems really unfair that Shang Tsung, with all his power, is allowed to interfere, but Raiden's
not. He seems
not.
To be the counterpart to Raiden.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So, why is he allowed to keep flaunting the rules?
Because this is stupid.
Yes.
The idea is you're all preparing for the tournament, but you're not allowed to go to the other world and kill those people before the tournament. But that's exactly what he does. And Raiden is a bit of a fucking bitch because he's kind of letting it happen. I know he's dropping fucking lightning here and there and putting like barricades up and shit like that. But like, I'm like, you have no control over your
special effect. Was terrible.
I mean, that was just
it was like, there for so long.
I don't know. That's right, and it was a bit weird as well. So I think that was. I mean. Shit, that's the thing. There's nothing you can grab onto in this film, which is like, oh, that makes sense. This is the sequence. It's more like, oh, here's another fight. You know?
Yeah.
And that,
well, this film, like you said, ends up being a prequel to the good stuff. Yeah. We've already lost Kano, lost Kung Lao, and a host of the evil characters.
We lost a bunch of them, man. Like, we lost Sub Zero, motherfucker.
Well, we lost Sub Zero. Although with the murky rules of this fucking game, there's no doubt Sub Zero comes back because what's his name? Shang Tsung
died and he came back. Oh, sorry, Scorpion.
Yes,
Scorpion.
And they. Shang Tsung, sorry, I keep forgetting his name. I apologize. He sucked his body into the cloud and took him away. So there's no doubt he comes back, right?
Yeah, no, he didn't die at least. But like,
well, he did.
The thing about Scorpion, did he? I thought he was banished rather than because anyway. But like, Scorpion comes back, and his explanation is, "You banished me to hell," which he didn't. He just killed him in that.
Well, Sub Zero needs to really learn a few rules here. Like, first of all, he leaves the guy who becomes Scorpion alive to crawl close enough to his house, and then he leaves Jax.
Yes,
sorry.
Yes.
He leaves Jax alive, and Jax comes back with his.
To be fair, he looked like he died. He actually dropped and hit his head.
Still,
and was like,
if you're that big a deal, it is killing the champions. Surely, rip out their spine or you cut off their head.
Well, if you want to go that way, he at the beginning kills Scorpion's family with ice and shit, and then he doesn't do the
same thing. He left Scorpion alive.
No, he left Scorpion alive. That's fine. It's dumb. Then he comes and what's the lead guy's name? His name is Cole. Yeah, he then grabs his family the same way he did with like Cole. With
they're
Scorpion
alive.
Family, they're alive. But why did he do that? I thought that his whole MO was to kill the thing and then kill the family.
I took a full half a star off at that point. I'm just like, you cannot have him just and then Scorpion or Raiden just put their power. Scorpion with his hellfire brings them back. Like, fuck off.
It's terrible. That was the thing. He said, you put me in hell, and then I just learned to control hell, and that's why I'm back. I'm like, so no one had anything to do with it, and you happened to come back at this time, 200 years later or whenever, right? So this is some bullshit,
100%.
This is some bullshit.
Fights.
And Cole is a shit character.
Cole
is a boring shit character.
Also,
I don't care about
him. He also looks way too young to have a daughter of that age.
He looks about 22.
So exactly. And that daughter is 14 years old. I'm like, what the fuck? This math does not work.
Well, Liu Kang is a bitch. I think I could take Liu Kang. I'm like, this is a scrawny little motherfucker.
We can add Liu Kang to the Steven Seagal list of people. <for the future. laughs>
Look, he shoots fire from his hands. He probably can take me. But if it weren't for that,
he's not going to burn your hair off.
Around a bit, mate. Exactly. So you see, not scared. So I don't know.
Look, the fights were good, but... But I have to say, the blocking in some of them was terrible. Like, there's a fight scene, when they all invade the Raiden's palace, and there's a fight scene happening in their training thing, and then it cuts away and comes back, and Sonya's being beaten up by Kano there, and then Liu Kang, the guy with a frisbee hat.
Kung Lao.
Kung Lao. He's just there. I'm like, but he wasn't there in that shot before. What's going on?
Yeah. This is why I think, this is where the inexperience as a director maybe, or editor, I don't know, right, comes in. And it's that, I mean, so honest with you, that didn't bother me quite so much, because that Kung Lao character, he's the best martial artist man, whoever that guy is, right? Is he the raid guy?
No. Joe Chaslam is Sub-Zero. He plays the sergeant in the raid. And he's also in The Night Comes for Us.
I thought I'd seen him before, yes. So Kung Lao, actually, the actual fight scenes where they were just fighting without powers were actually really good. I was like, this looks great. So that stuff was fine. But then, like, you know, I mean, I don't know. Let's talk about the fatalities, though. This is a very big thing, okay?
Yeah, some good ones.
So Liu Kang.
Some really good ones.
Liu Kang does the dragon. That's cool. That's an actual one. Sonya has these power bracelet thingies that fire out. That's also from the game. Liu Kang did the bicycle kick, but
did she
not
find
the fucking...
her whatever her chi power was very fast. She became it.
She got it immediately. You're right. She got it immediately. I didn't even think about that.
Everyone else had to work fucking hard for it. She just had it. Okay.
She's like, oh, I beat Kano, so I got it now. Word. So. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, look, I didn't have a horrible time.
Let's give our final thoughts and wrap this one up then, Wayne. Take it away. What do you score it? And anything else you want to add?
No, I think I nailed it all, and I think my score is, surprisingly, 58.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. 58 out of 100. I'm close. Mm. 53 for me. I'm casting it. Had we not had the ridiculous Cole resurrection of his family, it probably would have been a 58, 59, 60 even for me. So about a half a star off.
Mm. Yeah, that was so unearned. More than possible.
Yeah, it's fine. I had fun. I enjoyed it so much more than Godzilla versus Kong, because I wasn't as distracted by the ridiculous...
Absolutely.
Plot holes. But overall, is this a good video game adaptation amongst really shit competition? Yes, it is. Is it a good film?
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
That's right. You're right. It's good for its genre, but that's not saying much. Yep. So there you are.
There we are. I think we're in complete agreement. There we are. 58 for Wayne, 53 for me. And that is our review of Mortal Kombat 2021. No end credit sequence, which also kind of blew my mind. I'm very surprised about that.
Yeah, I was looking for that as well. Yeah, big prize. Anyway.
Given that we are trying to build towards, I guess, the next film, which would have been the actual competition, but...
I'll be interested to see if they do actually get there, because, like, again, if I was a studio, I'd say, yes, but you got to bring Kano back. That's what I'd say.
And Warner Brothers' new head CEO, Wayne Arusu, decrees Kano in every film.
The Aussie larrikin character is usually unsuccessful in American films, and here's an example of where it wasn't, although this is shot in Australia, so I don't know what works. Anyway, so there you go.
All right, that's it from us. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you want to give us feedback on what you thought about Mortal Kombat 2021, you can do so via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on Twitter at thecountdownpc. Check out ccradio.com.au for not just ourselves, but some other great Aussie podcasts, Believe and Comic Confidential, and the Facebook list community links in the show notes, as well as follow us and like the show on podbean.com via the app or online. That is it for today. Thanks again for joining us. My name is Paul.
My name is Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
Vindication!
Added in post, so who knew what they said? And that's why Wayne's not spitting chips right now, but I'm sure it was fucking perfect. We'll catch you next time.
I'm sure it wasn't.